Facebook, Google, all of these companies are trying to figure out where are the rules and where are they going to draw the line.
There's clearly a demand for renters. They've got most of them full.
If you own a bond in your retirement portfolio, the price of that is going to go down.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Welcome to Thursday afternoon on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Steve Bertrand here, and very much appreciative of the fact that you're there listening to the program today. Do you have, I know Bill and Wendy just talked to Rick Steves a little bit earlier about the travel show coming up. We're going to touch on that as well later. Do you have travel plans for this spring? 80% of Illinoisans plan on at least one vacation coming up this year, according to AAA. And I think it's like 40% of those, so half of 80%, plan to have a vacation before April. So they're going away in spring break. We'll talk to Beth Mosier from AAA about that a bit later. Right now, we head to CNET. Ben Rubin is on the phone line, a senior reporter for CNET.com. Ben, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
You know, this is where I'm going to sound old, maybe, or out of touch, but I have a smart TV, but it's hooked up, or it's wireless, but actually we have an Ethernet hookup to our internet. You know, I watch Amazon shows, Netflix shows, on all of that. I'm very happy with it. I don't get the whole Roku or Amazon Fire situation. And you guys have been writing about Amazon Fire, the fact that they now have 30 million users. I'm sure a lot of those users were recipients of Christmas gifts just a few weeks ago. They're surpassing Roku. And I want you to tell me a little bit about that sort of technology and whether that's the future or whether the internet hookup is the future, exactly where we're headed here.
Yeah, so an internet hookup, how exactly did you use that? Like, you get to YouTube through a Chrome browser or something like that? Is that how you use it?
Well, I have Xfinity TV, so I have a YouTube app on my TV already. I've got Netflix.
I see.
On my TV.
Yeah.
So
with Xfinity is a good example of one of the cable providers, one of the traditional cable providers that's actually been doing a better job than most at providing some of those streaming services, some of those apps that you would find on these streaming services as well, like your Rokus or your Amazon Fire TVs, like YouTube, like Pluto TV, HBO Go, you name it. But the expectation is that the concept of linear TV isn't necessarily dying off, but it's definitely getting wounded by streaming television, by binge-watching, by on-demand television. This is something that Netflix has been pushing for a long time, and it seems that a lot of the younger generations are really watching TV this way.
So there are a lot of people
a
lot of people watching TV with an Amazon Fire application or Roku, and they're not subscribing to Xfinity or other cable operations, correct?
Precisely, yeah. And they are seeing some of those numbers go down. One of the major elements where the TV providers, the traditional providers, are really seeing an opportunity to try to get people to keep watching linear television are sports, obviously. So the NFL has been critical for that type of thing. But Amazon recently inked a deal with the NFL to stream Thursday Night Football, so they're not going to let those traditional players hold on to those as much. And also the major awards shows. But the major awards shows have been seeing declining viewership as well. So people aren't watching as much of the Oscars and the Golden Globes as much as they used to for whatever reason. Maybe they decided they want to binge watch Breaking Bad or, I don't know, like just stay on Facebook. So what's fascinating about what's going on in digital media these days is that it's TV versus radio, perhaps several decades ago.
Right,
nowadays,
right.
It's what are all these different things that could capture your attention?
So if I then could one day get rid of cable altogether and live off of this if I wanted to, but I would lose those programs you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I've already done that. I have a bunch of different streaming services.
Ben, you're going to miss the Oscars, man. There's no host this year. You're going to miss them.
So interestingly enough, there's this thing called rabbit ears. There's an antenna that I have a digital antenna, and I connect it to my smart television, and that's how I watch live television, and I don't have to pay a dime for it. And that's what's funny about some folks that decide to be cord cutters. They've actually stepped all the way back to getting, you know, a newer version of rabbit ears to watch regular television, which is that to me is a really interesting aspect. What's old is new again.
You don't have to get up and adjust the rabbit ears, do you?
I do sometimes. It's like digital rabbit ears, and I have it pasted to my window. And if I'm watching an Eagles game, sometimes I'll have to move it around a bit. So
that's
I remember when I was much younger, we would have to do that too. So decades later, the whole thing has resurfaced all over again.
And I want to touch quickly on the Consumer Electronics Show going on in Vegas and the sort of the foreign intervention, if you will. The Brits are there in bigger numbers this year than they have been in the past. I know they've been criticized in the past for kind of blowing it off, but why are they so interested now?
I mean, this makes a lot of sense to me that they would want to show up at the world's biggest tech show, because the Brits, more than anybody, need friends these days because of Brexit.
Right.
So they need to show up at a show like this and show that, hey, we're here, we want to partner with you, here are all these innovative companies that we have, here are all these innovative ideas that we have, because I'm sure a lot of European companies, a lot of folks in the EU, do not like the idea of Brexit. They think that it's causing a lot of problems. And so now Britain needs to go out of its way to really show itself as a potential partner and also forge its way for more independence. I mean, that was the whole point of Brexit in the first place. So if that's an opportunity they can get in the show, then sure, that's a positive.
I know that Liam Fox, who's the UK Secretary of State for international trade, is there, but he also was on the West Coast to go see in person the Golden Globes. So maybe he has Roku and doesn't have access to it on his TV at home, and so he thought and said he'd see it on purpose.
yeah, exactly. But you know, that's a perfect example of they're so clearly trying to do a charm offensive because they know they need friends a lot more than maybe they used to. And I've been going to CES for a couple of years now, and it is often interesting to see major corporations, or maybe even in the case of Britain, a country, you know, a government,
right,
deciding that maybe they're too cool to show up, even though there are, you know, almost 200,000 folks in the tech community that show up to this show. But oftentimes when you need assistance, when you need to find partners, or if you're in trouble and you need to kind of change the messaging, this is a really good stage. This is the biggest stage where you can try to really tweak your message.
Ben Rubin,
find a friend.
Ben
so,
is a senior reporter at CNET.com. Ben Rubin, nice to talk to you again. I hope we can do it soon.
Thank you so much.
It's 12:24. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, now one of the most more interesting factors, I think, with the big tax reform bill from 2017 was the creation of these opportunity zones. And the idea was it would encourage investment in exchange for a tax cut in areas that needed investment. They were studying that. They have been looking at that at the Urban Institute. Brett Theodos is on a phone line. He's a research associate there and has written a paper on it when it comes to, I think, the Opportunity Zones and Cook County as well. Brett, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Glad to be here.
All right, so tell me first about the Opportunity Zones and why it is you are looking at Cook County when it comes to that.
Opportunity Zones are a big deal. This was slipped into the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, as you alluded to, but it's really going to matter for communities. And so we looked at Chicago, and Cook County is a perfect case study to understand how they're going to be playing out across the country.
And the Opportunity Zones, explain for me the mechanism of it. So I can invest money and escape capital gains taxes if I invest in these zones. Are there zone funds, or are they specific projects, or how is it that an investor or someone might get involved in it?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways. It's actually a pretty flexible tool, but the actual tax benefit means you take your gains, however you got them, your $1 million in Apple stock or any other way, and you invest them in an opportunity fund. That fund then invests them in zones. Now, that fund could be, you know, a BlackRock-type fund with lots of investments, but it also could be a single investor in a single project. So we're going to see a lot of different types of arrangements for funds.
It seems to me like a great trade. I mean, okay, you get your tax break. You're not contributing what you might have, but you certainly are, if it's done well, benefiting those who need it. So you've looked at Cook County. Are the results in already? It seems like it's pretty early. Or what have you found?
The results are not in, and what we're trying to do is shape the debate, shape the implementation. So we're articulating what the needs are for public sector, for philanthropy to come alongside to indeed make this a good deal, right, as you articulated, because it may not be all the time everywhere.
I was going to say, right, you don't want necessarily investors who are more interested in a tax break than they are benefiting the community. The community could end up being sort of used in that exchange. So I would imagine it's important to get the community, the stakeholders involved when it comes to coming up with a strategy to use this money.
And that's hard to do. There's not really a legal mechanism for community involvement or participation in this tax incentive, but there is with respect to community planning, zoning, and development more broadly. So that's where the community can engage.
And as far as figuring out what each neighborhood needs, I mean, it sounds as if this maybe was put in a little more quickly than it might have been to just get it into the tax bill, but a lot of the structure isn't where it should be.
It was included without debate in the tax bill. So, yes, and a lot of it is being worked out right now. We've got proposed regs coming out of IRS and lots of comments, so the details are still really firming up for exactly how this is going to be used, but that is not tamping down investor interest. Investors are out there actively making investments already.
Great. And so then your studies and what you're looking at might help them in the future, right, figure out how to use this money best.
That's the goal.
And so when the money then comes into an opportunity zone, is there a director of that money, or how is it that in the opportunity zone the money is spent? It's kind of a badly worded question, but do you understand what I'm trying to get to?
I do, and there's no central czar here. This isn't central planning at all. It's the exact opposite. So every fund can invest in every zone however much it wants and whatever it wants in, you know, with the limitations as defined in the statute. But that means you could get multiple funds investing in a single zone, in a single project, or different projects. A zone is a census tract, so like a small micro-neighborhood of maybe 4,000 people on average.
So it sounds like this is an opportunity or maybe a responsibility of local philanthropic groups to sort of step up, try to find this money as it's coming in, make sure the money is spent well.
That absolutely agree. And we really think that because the federal incentive is so open-ended, it's going to take robust attention from local government, from philanthropy, from community development financial institutions, from community development corporations, from resident groups to make sure that it's used to their benefit.
Brett Theodos is a principal research associate at the Urban Institute. All right, Brett, keep your eyes open, learn, and come back and tell us what you found.
Will do. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Dave Schwann. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Okay, we all know we should watch what we spend, right? Be careful when it comes to spending money and not waste money. What are the things, what are the expensive things that are worth it, the expensive things that we should drop our hard-earned cash on? On a phone line now is Stephanie O'Connell. She has written a book called The Broke and Beautiful Life, and she was featured in an article I saw in the Business Insider, and they kind of listed six different things that are worth the money, and she's going to talk to us about those now. Stephanie, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
All right, I love your story, right? You were sort of extended and figured out a way to set your priorities, save your money, and created your own business. And now you've got the money to drop on what you need to drop it on.
I do, thankfully. And even then, it's really easy for that money to go really quickly when you have disposable income. That's a luxury. But that luxury budget can get really eaten up really fast if you're not careful about making sure you're spending in alignment with things you really value.
We're going to talk travel a little bit later in the half hour. Rick Steves will join us and Beth Mosier from AAA. And that's one of the things that you say is worth it. You should spend money to travel. Why is that?
Well, the science suggests that we value experiences more than we value things. So experiences give us memories, and memories appreciate in value over time, as opposed to things or stuff around the house, which starts losing value almost immediately, technology.
I was going to say, that's one of the things they say about millennials, you know, that they're all about experience. But, I mean, the human being hasn't changed in the past 20 or 30 years. It's probably been good and positive for us forever.
Yeah, a lot of the things that people say is a millennial trend is really just a human trend. It's just the fact that millennials are often, right, you know, at the forefront of those shifts. And we're really willing to be ruthless about our prioritization. But generally, if something is happening like this change among the millennials, it's happening in the culture at large.
It turns out millennials are humans, too. Who knew that would be the case?
Indeed.
A mattress, a good night's sleep is worth the cash?
Absolutely. Anything that's going to help you sleep better is probably worth the cash. Sleep is essential to your health, so it might be more than a mattress. It might be having a white noise machine if you need a white noise machine. It might be just a blackout curtain. So anything that's really going to give you that experience you need to rest up is going to be good for your health, both physically and mentally.
One of the suggestions, and I don't know if it's yours, but one of the suggestions in the article was to spend money on clothes that fit well, maybe have them altered to make sure they fit your form correctly. I'm not sure I get that one. That seems like kind of an extravagance.
It is a bit of an extravagance, but this is a really good example of one of the splurges that's great if it's in alignment with your personal value system. And I think that's a really important part of all of this, is that we all have different values. And so what's a splurge that makes sense for one person might not make sense for another. And so for me, clothes are a splurge that makes sense, because when I walk into a room and I know that my clothes are fitting well, I feel more confident, I perform better. So I know that's worth it to me.
Right.
But for somebody else, it might not be clothes. It might be shoes. It might be a bag. It might be something else.
I was going to say, so what is your sort of guilty splurge if it's not clothes? What else is there?
My biggest splurge, guilty splurge, I don't like to say guilty because I think it's worth it, is splurging on services. So getting my house cleaned is, even though I live in a one-bedroom apartment, I pay someone to come and clean my apartment once a month. And to me, that is so worthwhile because it buys back my time and my energy. And those are the two really non-renewable resources.
You know,
money, we can always earn more, right? But time, we don't get back.
I think you're right. And I fall victim to that, to the acquisition of things sometimes. I need this thing or that thing. And that's not the best way to spend the money. I'd rather have the memories from travel or a good night's sleep. Stephanie O'Connell, the name of her book is The Broke and Beautiful Life. Thanks for joining us today. It was great to talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WG. And now, kind of a weird thing. We had, I guess, a communications snafu. So Rick Steves is going to be on with us after the break. And then he'll be on with Bill and Wendy again tomorrow, too. But we'll talk travel with Beth and Rick and more coming up. But first, this on the Biz Lunch.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Last year in the business world, there was a lot of buzz around the awareness of lack of women in the boardroom and in the C-suite. And unfortunately, it's a slow-moving beast, but the importance is that they're moving in the right direction. Just look at venture capital company Pritzker Group. They announced that they're appointing Sonia Nagar as one of the firm's new partners, and she's only 36. She'll still oversee the consumer and retail side of the investments for the company, but she'll add these duties to her work as well. And with all of this investment news these days, remember that these buyouts and partnerships aren't always 100% successful. AbbVie has had to halt trials of Stemcentrx, a lung cancer drug that they acquired for $5.8 billion. They've been focusing on the cancer drug market for a while, but as you might guess, this is a realm that can have life or death impacts, so they can't be testing on subjects for extended periods of time. That's just one of the reasons why these deals make news all the time. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. You're able to hear Beth Mosier is in the studio. She is from AAA Chicago. And also on a phone line is Rick Steves, of course, the travel expert when it comes to travel to Europe, whether you watch him on PBS or watch his videos on YouTube, buy his books, his maps, and all of that. Rick, welcome to the Business Lunch.
It's nice to be with you. Thanks.
I'm glad you're here. And we've had some scheduling snafu, so I kind of poached you, I guess, and you're going to be on again with Bill and Wendy tomorrow. So I didn't mean to steal him from you. But Beth Mosier in the studio as well from AAA. Beth, welcome.
Oh, good. Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So I was. This is for the both of you, I guess. We were just talking earlier in the program about things that are worth the money, something that you should splurge on. And one of the top things recommended was travel, because the idea is that you get from that memories that are going to last a long time, experiences. And if you're going to spend up, that's one of the things to spend on, Beth.
Absolutely. We couldn't agree more. Travel is just, it's full of experiences. And whether you're doing it with a family or a loved one or solo by yourself, you just gain so many rich memories and experiences. Learn about other cultures. Some of it can be so educational for young children. So we couldn't agree more. No better way to spend money than on travel.
Hey, Rick, you know, I follow you quite a bit, and I think you might make the argument that travel makes the world better.
Well, that's the topic of one of the talks I'll be giving at the Chicago Travel Show this weekend, and I really believe that travel makes us better friends with the rest of the world. You know, when you get out of your comfort zone, you realize there's this world's a beautiful place. And my mission is to inspire and equip Americans to venture beyond Orlando. And, you know, I think Europe is the waiting pool for world exploration.
We're very frightened
these days.
Have you not been to Epcot Center? They've got almost every country represented there, Rick.
I know that's just great for one or two trips. But after that, you could actually go to Portugal and talk to people who speak a different language. But I just think, you know, in the old days, we used to say bon voyage, and now people say have a safe trip. But the irony is it's never been safer to travel. It's just a lot of people are frightened because they don't get out that much. And it's clear to me fear is for people who don't get out much. And the flip side of fear is understanding, and we gain that when we travel. And I just love to I've spent 4 months a year in Europe ever since I was a kid. And it's so much fun to see people open up to the world and bring home the most beautiful souvenir, which I think is a broader perspective and an empathy for the other 96% of humanity.
Interesting you bring that up, because that's one of my pet peeves is when you go off on a holiday, people don't say they might say have a great 4th of July, but what they say is have a safe holiday, have a safe this. And we just have.
Well, when somebody tells me to have it. Yep. You know, Steve, when somebody tells me to have a safe trip, I'm inclined to say, well, you have a safe stay at home, because where I'm going is safer than where you're staying. Europe is a very safe place, and I find that the most frightened people are the people without passports buried way in the middle of our country. And if you just get out, you realize, hey, this life is a festival, and we can celebrate the diversity and rather than be afraid of it. And, of course, Europe is a very tame place to travel, and that's my beat. And it's just so much fun to, you know, recognize that this is an investment of your time and your money. I think in the old days, you know, Arthur Frommer wrote Europe on $5 a day, taking care of our money. My first books were France in 22 days or Britain in 22 days, taking care of your time. And I think time is a very limited resource and a precious resource for Americans. We have the shortest vacations in the rich world, and we need to use our time smartly over there as well as our money.
Now, Beth, I know that AAA did a survey, looked at Illinois travel plans, and so 80% of us are expected to take a vacation sometime this year. I was surprised that 40% of that 80% is going to take some sort of spring trip.
Absolutely. And spring break is becoming more and more important to families, particularly with young children. They want to get out and escape the cold. And no better place to start learning about different destinations than the Travel and Adventure Show this weekend at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. There'll be vendors there from 250 destinations talking about the rich experiences people can have, whether abroad or in the United States. AAA will be there to help folks book some of these travel destinations and to help families figure out where they want to go.
Everyone's talking about an economic slowdown coming. Have you, Beth, seen any sort of slowdown?
You know, we haven't seen it yet. Tours and cruising are so popular, and so we haven't seen it yet, but we hope it doesn't happen, because as Rick has said and you have said, travel is so important to our culture and our experience.
Beth, I spoke at the travel show a couple of years ago. And as I did, I saw people sprinting through the hall, and I said, what is this? And they were all going to Rick Steves' stage. So,
oh, that's funny. Well, what I do is I collect the most important lessons I've learned from 4 months of travel every year for the last 30 years, and I distill it into a 90-minute lecture. And that's a fun part of the travel show. So Saturday morning and Sunday morning, I'll be giving that talk.
Have you noticed any slowdown in business?
No, I mean, I focus on budget European travel, so I just find that my guidebook sales and our tour sales are pretty consistent. And when the dollar's down or the economy's down, we focus more on budget skills. And when it's not, more people are going over there and not so concerned about their budget. But, you just have to have priorities. And, of course, it takes money to travel. But if you are able to travel, it's just important to know what your options are and how to use your time smartly and how to have experiences. I think I'm sure Beth has found that with her work that experiences are trendy these days, and we want to see the famous galleries and museums, but you also want to get over there and become a temporary local. And I recommend, becoming kind of a cultural chameleon. When you're in Prague, you want to drink that great Pilsner beer. When you're in Tuscany, you want to have a nice full-bodied red wine. I never go home after a long day of work here in Seattle and want a cloudy glass of ouzo, but when I'm in Greece, after a long day of sightseeing, I love to watch the sun go down with a nice glass of ouzo because it feels right when I'm right there. I'm a temporary local.
Well, listen, Rick Steves, it's great to talk to you, and I know you're going to be back on with Bill and Wendy again tomorrow, and I hope to see you this weekend. Thanks very much for joining us.
Happy travels.
Happy travels. Beth Mosier as well, thanks for coming in. So tell me again, where do people find your booth and what can they find when they get there?
We're booth number 1205. We're a sponsor of the show. People, if you're a AAA member, you can also go to AAA.com/travel shows and get a special discounted ticket for $9. It's with using the code AAA19.
It's a great show. I've been there a couple of times. I really enjoy it. So I wish you great success. Thousands of people will be there.
Thank you.